Rates for depression are higher in rural America than in urban areas, and suicide rates among people living in rural counties are 25% higher than those in major metropolitan areas. Addressing mental illness is a significant challenge in rural America due to unique barriers that include fewer primary care providers than in the cities, as well as a lack of psychiatrists, psychiatric nurse practitioners, and broadband internet at home. Over the past few years, there's been a major movement to bring mental health in rural America to the forefront, including a new nonprofit to tackle this challenge. Learn about Rural Minds this hour.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau Studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It is well known how big of a challenge mental health is in the U.S., but very few realize how rural parts of our country are being impacted. A new nonprofit, Rural Minds, was launched last year to provide rural Americans with efficient access to existing mental health services organizations and address the importance of overcoming the stigma around mental health challenges. The organization focuses on confronting mental illness in rural America through education and connecting with support services. The founder of Rural Minds, Jeff Winton, joins us this week on our Ohio Weekly. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, good morning.
I want to talk about why you decided to start Rural Minds. What really got the ball rolling for you in this project?
Well, as is the case with many organizations, the genesis of Rural Minds is a result of my 28-year-old nephew Brooks's suicide. Brooks grew up on a farm, actually worked for me on our dairy farm on Lake Erie, and was an integral part of the farming community. And no one had any idea that he was struggling with mental illness until the day that he was found dead from suicide. The family has a history. Other members of his immediate family were at risk, but he was the one that no one suspected was struggling with this. And therein lies the issue. As you well know, Ty, living and growing up in rural America, especially on a farm, you're taught to be very independent. You're taught to not talk about your issues always. You're taught to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just get on with things. And unfortunately, there are many stories like my nephew's out there. And so this has been something that's been 10 years in the making. My nephew died 10 years ago, leaving behind 3-year-old twins who are now 13 and just incredible kids. And we wanted to make sure that there was indeed a need for an organization like this. I've spent the bulk of my career working in communications, both within agriculture and healthcare. And so I was aware of a lot of the other big national organizations that focused on mental health. But I also realized that many of them, by their own admission, are more geared towards urban and suburban dwellers. And so this was a part of our society, and a very important part of our society, that wasn't necessarily being served in the manner that we all believed it should be. So in October of last year, we launched Rural Minds, working in partnership with a lot of other grassroots organizations. We're actually in discussion with the American Farm Bureau right now about, and so it's terrific to hear about your involvement. We're doing a lot of work with the National Grange right now. And, you know, growing up where I grew up and where you're from and many of your listeners, the Grange is still a very important part of our society. And this is an area that's very important to them and to their members. So again, we're only 7 months into this, but we're very encouraged by the uptake and by the ability to hopefully impact change moving forward.
Have to imagine that you, much like myself and many of us here at Ohio Farm Bureau, were shocked about how many challenges were actually out there when it comes to mental health in rural America. As you dove into this project and creating Rural Minds, what shocked you the most as you did your research and tried to figure out exactly where to start this project?
I think what surprised me the most is that no matter who we talked to, no matter what part of the country, it was all the same issue. That, you know, again, my frame of reference was my farm in upstate New York, my nephew's story, things of that nature. And you feel, well, maybe it's a one-off. Maybe this is something unique to my family, unique to my farming community of 500. But as we started talking to people from across this great country, we realized that this is an issue that is prevalent, that everyone is dealing with. I've, you know, had the privilege of doing a number of interviews since we launched in October. I was having a conversation with a farm broadcaster in the state of Colorado recently, and she was sharing with me the story of her own family. And, you know, it seems like almost every interview I do, no matter if it's with an agricultural publication or a more broad-based media outlet, somebody has a story. And we are all about at Rural Minds getting those stories out there to elevate the visibility of what this pandemic, which was a pandemic, by the way, way before COVID was a pandemic, and will be a pandemic long after we figured COVID out. And so that's why time is of the essence. We're in an emergency situation right now, as far as we're concerned.
The founder of Rural Minds joining us this week on Our Ohio Weekly, Jeff Winton. And, you know, we'll talk about getting resources out to rural America in a bit. That is one challenge that we're seeing across the country now. But where do you think we are as a society as far as breaking down the stigma and actually talking about the issue as a whole?
Well, I think there's still a great deal of work to be done, but I have hope. And the reason I have hope is it's the younger generation that is much more willing to talk about things like this that are uncomfortable than certainly my generation was and is. So my nephew, again, was 28 when he died. He would be 38. And after the funeral, where we spoke in great detail about what led up to his death, which, again, was kind of a shocker to a lot of people in the community because people assumed we would just stay away from the topic altogether. But my family and my mother in particular, who raised my nephew, said, time has come. We need to stop pretending that this isn't an issue. And we're going to talk very openly and transparently about it. So we did. So after my nephew's funeral, and I was privileged to have given the eulogy, we had lines of young people waiting to talk to us, to thank us and to tell us their story. And it was a very emotional time, but that was really when the seed was planted, because these stories are out there. And even though people of my generation may not be still comfortable talking about them and may never be, it's the younger generation, just like so many parts of our society and culture, that's where the change is going to be instituted. So that gives me great hope.
I couldn't agree more. When you look at these, I have two kids in high school now, and the resources they have for mental health and the awareness of the issue is so much more than what you and I, as you mentioned, we didn't even talk about it. We might have known about it, but no one ever talked about it back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Yeah. The kids that grew up in this latest generation, they're more comfortable with having those conversations. When they go back home from college for spring break or winter break or summer, they might see something and might say something because they've had that training and are able to have those conversations a lot more easier than you and I used to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the bottom line, Ty, is there are a lot of resources out there. And that's a key part of who we are and what we aspire to be at Rural Minds, is that if you go to our website, for example, ruralminds.org, you will see a library of resources that are already available. So it's a matter of getting them to the people that need them in a language that makes sense, because you know this better than anyone doing what you do for a living. You know, how we talk in small towns in rural America is a tad different than maybe how people in New York City or downtown Los Angeles talk. And so we are hoping that those resources that a lot of other organizations have already developed can now be put in the hands of people in small towns and on farms and fishing villages across this country, that will be helpful. The last thing we want to do, because we are in an emergency situation, is to waste time duplicating efforts. So the collaboration that we are hoping to instill with a lot of the other longstanding existing organizations is critical. That's why our partnership with The Grange, as you know, The Grange has been around since the mid-1800s. They are a staple of communities across this country. They have the ability and the framework to get the message out there. And the messages exist. So we're bringing together the agricultural community and the biopharmaceutical company that has a vested interest, because they are the industry that's very powerful in this country that is also making medicines for depression, for bipolar disorder, for schizophrenia. And it's interesting, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago where we brought together leaders from both the biopharmaceutical industry and the agricultural industry. It was the first time they'd ever sat down at a table together, which was shocking to me. So, you know, that it gives me great hope that there are a lot of things that can be done and need to be done pretty quickly out there. But as a new organization, we're trying to be as disciplined as possible, because it's such a mammoth issue, as you well know, that you can't tackle everything at once. So we're trying to be, you know, very thoughtful and very deliberate in making an impact where we can early on.
Jeff Winton is with Rural Minds, the founder of the organization. You can find out more at ruralminds.org. You mentioned the mammoth challenge ahead of us. And I mentioned at the top of the show, the challenges with finding adequate help like primary care, psychiatric help, even broadband accessibility in rural America is a challenge when it comes to mental health. What needs to be done to turn that around? Because it sounds like an awful big ask.
Well, it is a big ask, but I think there are some things happening right now, such as the broadband issue, that are being addressed. But on our own farm, again, in Western New York, when the height of the pandemic was upon us, our own farm manager, who literally lives a quarter of a mile from me, his three kids were going to school on the hotspot on his cell phone, because it wasn't that he couldn't afford it. He could, but it didn't exist. My house was the very last house to get internet service, and they have no plans of expanding it. And, you know, that really drove home the fact that we've got an issue. But I'm encouraged that now, with some of the legislation going through Washington, that that will be addressed in rural areas, of course, but also in other areas that broadband has been an issue.
That's the founder of a new nonprofit addressing mental health in rural America called Rural Minds. His name is Jeff Winton. We'll talk more with Jeff later on this hour. And the entire show is going to be focused on mental health in rural America and in agriculture, because this month, May, is Mental Health Month. We'll talk with the American Farm Bureau about their efforts, their Farm State of Mind campaign, and about a new virtual event coming up later on this month talking about agriculture's role in mental health and how we can break the stigma around talking about the issue among rural America. Also later on this hour, the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation doing some big things on the mental health front. We'll talk with their State Director of Health and Wellness, Dr. Anna Bell, coming up a little bit later on this hour. And you'll also meet Matt Bell. No relation, but he is a board member for the Ohio Farm Bureau. We're spotlighting all of our board members in a series over the next couple of weeks. Matt Bell farms in East Central Ohio. You'll hear more of his story coming up a little bit later on this hour here on Our Ohio Weekly. Farm families like yours are growing their businesses to ensure their best farm futures. Farm Bureau helps your competitive advantage by advocating for members, connecting you to like-minded entrepreneurs, and providing you with insights and business solutions to grow your bottom line. Add to that healthcare benefits, financial and insurance needs, market intel, and legislative, regulatory, legal risk management tools, and it's easy to see how Farm Bureau is feeding your need for new ideas. Renew your membership or become a member today. Learn more at ohiofarmbureau.org.
Guesswork may be great for trivia or a jar full of jelly beans, but for getting the right insurance coverage for your farm, not so much. Introducing the Ohio Farm Bureau Select Partners Program, an insurance and financial services program for Ohio's farming community. Select partner agencies specialize in the unique needs of agriculture, plus they're endorsed by local farmers like you. Achieve your strongest farm future at ohiofarmbureau.org/selectpartners.
Safety in agriculture is a top priority, and the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation has your safety needs covered with free safety consulting services, safety intervention grants, and training and education. Prevent workplace injuries and illnesses. Visit bwc.ohio.gov and click on Safety Services or call 866-569-7805 for more information. Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation, we've got you covered.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $2.8 billion. Much of that value comes from the standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA membership and Ohio's agriculture is undeniable. The farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Your projects are a big deal, so use equipment that can get the job done. Cat Equipment sets the standard for the industry. The Cat product line includes more than 300 machines to handle a wide variety of duties. Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 when buying or leasing qualifying Cat equipment, plus a $250 credit on select work tool attachments. Learn more by visiting ofbf.org/savings and click on the Caterpillar logo. Limitations and restrictions apply.
Ohio Farm Bureau has teamed up with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Ohio to offer health insurance options typically reserved for larger employers to Ohio agribusinesses with 1 to 50 employees. The Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan can provide you significant savings and quality health insurance benefits for your employees. For more information, eligibility, and competitive rates, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org or call 800-937-4567.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and this week talking about mental health in rural America. The founder of Rural Minds, Jeff Winton, joins us. And Jeff, we talked earlier this hour about all the stresses of agriculture, the uncertainty of the weather, of the markets. Now you add in inflation, supply chain issues. There are a lot of things impacting mental health and stress on the farm these days.
You know, one thing that has really hit home with me personally running a family dairy farm is a whole supply chain issue that we're hitting right now. We desperately need a new manure spreader. So if any of your listeners have a manure spreader for sale, please have them contact me. We cannot find one. I mean, there are none to be found for months and months on end. And as you know, when you need a new manure spreader, you need a new manure spreader. You know, the cost of fertilizer, the cost of fuel, we're seriously debating on our own farm whether or not we're going to plant corn this year. And maybe we're just going to feed hay and more grain because we're doing the economical, survey right now to determine if it makes sense to spend the kind of money you have to. So even though we're making progress on certain fronts, COVID has had such a detrimental impact that we've taken a step back because people in rural America were already dealing with this. This is nothing new, but it's become exacerbated because of some of the things that COVID has caused in this country, starting with isolation. You know, I mean, rural areas by definition are already isolated in many cases, especially, you know, where I grew up, where you get 200 inches of snow a year. And so once COVID hit and people weren't able to go to church, they weren't able to go to school, they weren't able to go to 4-H meetings, that really was an accelerant for a lot of the issues that we're going to be dealing with for, you know, at least another generation, I fear.
Been doing this show a long time, and very rarely are there first, but the first time a guest has asked for a manure spreader on Our Ohio Weekly, and all of a sudden this turned into Tradio, but that is fantastic. I hope this works out for you, and we get you what you need there on the farm. When you talked about, the challenges that we find with primary care and with broadband and with that help at the local level, are there any other challenges to mental health that are inherent in rural lifestyles?
Yeah, well, they're in small towns, for better or for worse, news travels fast. So if you have a tragedy on a farm, the neighbors show up with help immediately. And that's a beautiful thing that I will always appreciate about my upbringing and where I live now. And, you know, in small towns, everyone knows everyone's business. And again, that is both a blessing and a curse. So there are a lot of people, and I suspect that my nephew was one of them. If somebody had seen him walking into a psychiatrist's office or into a psychiatric unit or something, somebody would have said something to someone, and not necessarily to be malicious, but that's just how, again, small towns operate in many cases. And the news would have spread like wildfire. So the stigma, mental illness still is not looked at like cancer is, or cardiovascular disease, or diabetes. It's considered more of a personality flaw or a character defect, when in fact it's an illness as much as any of those other diseases I've mentioned. So one of the things that personally I am committed to, and Rural Minds as an organization is committed to, and our healthcare background is helping here, is that we need to start looking at schizophrenia, at major depression, at bipolar disorder in the same way we look at COVID. People are readily willing to talk about COVID and share their experience about COVID. We have to be able to talk about mental illness in the same manner that we talk about a lot of these other illnesses that we're all faced with on a daily basis.
You mentioned you started this back in October of last year, so really you're still in the infancy stages of Rural Minds and figuring out where to go and how you might be able to best fit into this conversation. But what's your next move in the playbook, and what are some of your future goals you have for the organization?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for asking. Again, the key to Rural Minds is collaborating with other existing organizations, whether it's the American Farm Bureau, whether it's the National Grange, whether it's one of the national mental health associations. The other thing that we're really focused on are partnering with a lot of the smaller grassroots organizations that are out there in rural towns that, again, many times are born out of a tragedy that has happened in that community. And a lot of these groups start with no funding, with no resources. They do it because somebody in the community has been impacted. So our goal is at a national level to help provide the resources, the resources that are necessary to get some of these smaller grassroots organizations off the ground more quickly so that they can make an impact, and also to help provide funding. There is a lot of funding available to do the kinds of work that needs to be done here, but you have to know where to go for it and you have to know how to ask for it. And that's where what we do and have done, many of us that are part of Rural Minds now, have worked for major agricultural companies like John Deere, like Land O'Lakes, and major pharmaceutical companies such as Pfizer and Merck. The money exists, but it's a matter of knowing who the gatekeeper is and knowing how to seek it. So we're working at a national level with a lot of those big organizations that I've just mentioned. But we're hoping that we can in turn get funding that can fund a lot of these other groups that are so critical to addressing this on a local, state, and regional basis.
Jeff Winton is the founder of Rural Minds. Again, the website is ruralminds.org. And Jeff, really appreciate your efforts on this front. We do have a lot more work to do, but I would say compared to even 10, 20 years ago, we are making a whole lot of progress, and really appreciate what you're doing there at Rural Minds. And hopefully as we all collaborate across Ohio and across the country, we can keep on breaking down that brick wall of stigma and help those that need it the most. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ty, and thank you for what you're doing personally. Take care.
Our Ohio Weekly continues after this. This is Our Ohio Weekly. Thanks for listening. I'm Ty Higgins with the Ohio Farm Bureau. On this week's edition of To the Beat of Agriculture, we'll hear from a Zanesville resident whose family's farm has operated since the 1800s. Learn about their operation and his hopes for the next generation of farmers and his family.
My name is Matt Bell. I'm the District 16 trustee for Ohio Farm Bureau. I represent Muskingum, Morgan, Perry, and Guernsey counties in East Central Ohio. I've lived in Muskingum County all my life. I'm actually the sixth generation to farm where we are. So we've been here for a long while. We've got a barn that's got a date on it, and I think it's 1840. No, 1870. 1800s, how about that? That's way better. you know, all the people that came before me, before our generation, you know, obviously things have changed a lot, but I'm just glad that I get the opportunity to work the farm, albeit very different than when it was in 1800s. But it's an honor, I guess, to really say it's an honor to be able to carry it on for another generation. That's a long time for one family or, you know, one group of people to be in one spot doing the same thing. So, yeah, it's, I guess, to put it succinctly, I'd say it's an honor. We have 11 employees, so it's not just me. It's not just my dad. It's not just my wife, Melissa, and my mother, Jean. I mean, we're all involved, but we're heavily relying on employees, some contract growers that we have in the livestock side. Obviously, in this business, you've got to be dedicated to do what we do, to rely on Mother Nature to, you know, help you through. Sometimes that can be trying at times. So dedication is one of the many words I would use. You know, livestock, it's 24/7, 365. You know, not only are we dedicated, but, you know, our employees are extremely dedicated as well. So we're blessed. We have a really good blend of people, old and young, and it's not just the Bell family that makes this thing go. My dad came back to the farm full-time in the 70s, early 70s. The first thing he did was got rid of the chickens. That was a big change then. In my career, we've gotten rid of a cow herd. We've intensified our hog operation, intensified our grain operation. We've implemented more acres to farm, whether it be through a purchase or whether it be through rental agreements with other landowners. I guess the biggest change probably is our livestock. We still do have some pasture that we use for cattle, but at present we just pasture cattle for some other people. The swine operation has been the biggest change, I would imagine. Just going to more specialized production. Traditionally, your farm would be set up with, you know, you would have a few sows and you would finish those offspring off. Well, now we have all the sows on one farm and then the pigs go to another farm to be finished. And that's where our contract growers come in. So I guess that would be our biggest change. So, you know, I was an FFA in high school. Ohio Farm Bureau, and not just Ohio Farm Bureau, just Farm Bureau in general. Our people that we have in our positions are second to none. You know, we have a lobbying team that is fantastic. We have public policy teams that are great. We have communications departments that are doing so many new things and trying to reach out to new people. Obviously, you know, farmers are busy. We're all looking to try to grow our businesses and try to do as much as we possibly can with the least amount of resources as possible. And Farm Bureau is one of the things that lets us kind of concentrate on our operations, which we all do. But when it's time to concentrate and do some things for Farm Bureau, whether that be on the legislative side, lobbying side, or, you know, membership side, we're all willing to do it. But we know it's in good hands when we're busy, like right now, trying to plant a crop or managing people or doing risk management things that are important to our business. We know that Farm Bureau is there and kind of has our back. I'm a sixth generation. First and foremost, I don't want to be the guy that screws it up, that can't pass it on to the next. And I say that jokingly, but there is a little bit of pressure involved. I want to give the opportunity to the next generation, whether it be my kids, my brother's kids, that can have the opportunity to do what I've been able to do, what we've been able to do. And that is either grow the business or change the business. We might be raising Christmas trees someday, or who knows, but just the opportunity for them to be in agriculture and them, you know, to have the same opportunities and chance to do the things that I did. I'm not old enough to retire yet, obviously, but me personally, you know, besides, we're ready to keep on snatching, you know, if there's more opportunities to do some more things that are beneficial to us and beneficial to our employees that, you know, we can keep providing like we have been, we'll do those. One thing about farmers are never, most aren't very complacent. They're always looking for the next thing to do. They're very, very entrepreneurial. How about that?
Thanks to Matt Bell for taking the time to come on the show and for his service as a trustee on the Ohio Farm Bureau State Board. To hear past interviews, visit your favorite podcast platform and search for Our Ohio Weekly. Your stories are precious, and they should be preserved. Do it in the form of a personal audio keepsake called Audio Scrapbook. Visit audioscrapbook.com today to learn more. That's audioscrapbook.com. I'm Ty Higgins. Back after this on Our Ohio Weekly.
Farmers are busy. You need business solutions from people who know farming. Introducing the Ohio Farm Bureau Select Partners Program, an insurance and financial services program for Ohio's farming community. Endorsed by farmers like you, Select Partners are committed to providing the best in consultative services to the agricultural community. Achieve your strongest farm future at ohiofarmbureau.org/selectpartners.
Farm Bureau Bank has built its entire existence around the lifestyle and needs of farmers. They're here to help grow traditions, give back to agricultural communities, and offer financial convenience for your unique way of life. Visit farmbureau.bank or call one of their personal bankers today, 800-492-3276, to learn more. That's farmbureau.bank or 800-492-3276. From sun up to sundown, Farm Bureau Bank is committed to serving you.
Case IH is a proud supporter of Ohio Farm Bureau, and thanks to a membership benefits partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount of up to $500 on every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. So join Ohio Farm Bureau and pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount at ofbf.org. That's ofbf.org.
Today, it might seem that all news headlines impact you directly.
How will rural Ohio recover from a global pandemic?
A county eminent domain case heads to the Supreme Court.
Millions are still in need of reliable internet access.
The nation's food supply chain is being challenged.
For over 100 years, Ohio Farm Bureau has advocated for a strong Ohio food and farm community, and will continue to engage on issues important to you because your growth is our future. Farm proud and farm strong by becoming an Ohio Farm Bureau member today by visiting ohiofarmbureau.org. Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. Thanks for listening. Farmers have some of the toughest jobs in America, facing an incredible amount of pressure, even on good days. Stress is real. Everyone feels it. Farmers are no exception. Farm Bureau has been working to encourage conversations about stress and mental health to help break the stigma that's been prevalent in farming and rural communities for far too long. A recent study by the American Farm Bureau revealed encouraging signs this work is starting to show results. Ray Atkinson joins us, Director of Communications with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Ray, welcome to Our Ohio Weekly.
Thank you, Ty. Thanks for having me.
So back in December, AFBF commissioned this national morning consult poll to measure changes and trends in stigma around mental health and comfort levels in talking about stress and mental health with others. What did the results tell us about conversations happening about this very difficult topic in agriculture?
The results showed us that stigma around seeking help or treatment for mental health had decreased slightly. However, a majority of rural adults and farmers said there's still stigma around stress and mental health. Kind of the big takeaway that we got from the survey was that, you know, we're having an impact, but we still have a lot of work to do. And, you know, we asked the question, and everybody asks the question all the time we hear, how do we know we're making a difference? How do we know we're really having an impact on stigma? And we hear things like more programming, more people like you talking about it on your programs, more county Farm Bureau meetings and state Farm Bureau, national Farm Bureau meetings. Every ag group is now talking about it more, which we didn't hear as much before. But we wanted to have sort of more quantifiable data around that. So we commissioned this survey to really measure how stigma was being impacted. And I mentioned that stigma had decreased slightly. We saw that there was a decrease in rural adults saying their friends and acquaintances, people in their local community, and their place of employment attached stigma to seeking help or treatment for mental health. So there was some small declines there, which are great. But I think the two things that really jumped out as being very, very encouraging was, first, that more than 9 in 10 farm workers said they would be comfortable talking about solutions with a friend or family member who's dealing with stress or a mental health condition. I think that one's really important because our previous survey identified farmers weren't confident that they could have that kind of conversation, and by a 22% margin compared to rural adults. So that was something that we've been trying to address. So I'd say, you know, that's maybe had an impact too. And then the other thing, the percentage of farmers and farm workers who said they'd be comfortable talking to friends and family members, that it increased, that number increased 22% since April 2019.
That really opens some doors, doesn't it? That we realize that people are getting more comfortable not only hearing the message, but also sharing the message of the resources and what's out there for farmers, and also just being able to understand that there are stresses in farming. But these positive numbers that you're seeing as far as that conversation moving forward gives the green light for Farm Bureau to start having some resources readily available. And a couple of those that you have coming up, including training available for people that are involved in agriculture in one way, shape, or form to help farmers, but also something later on this month, a virtual event that everybody can get involved in as well.
We worked with Farm Credit and National Farmers Union, and we partnered with Michigan State University Extension and University of Illinois Extension to develop this training program. And it's really for people who interact with farmers and ranchers, people, say your field service people or your lender, you know, or people that really interact closely with farmers, and it gives them the information to help understand the sources of stress and manage their own stress and learn warning signs of stress and suicide, and then really how to point people toward resources and help.
At the end of the month, Farmers Saving Lives, a virtual event hosted by American Farm Bureau. Tell us what this is about and how our listeners can get involved.
We are presenting this virtual event on Tuesday, May 31st at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And farmers and farm families can attend by phone, smartphone, or tablet from anywhere they are. We're going to hear from three Farm Bureau members who are mental health advocates and who really have strong passion for helping to improve mental health outcomes and save lives. We will have that registration information out very soon, and you will see it. So we'll just have your folks be looking for that, and we will share that with you as well.
Yeah, we'll put it up on ohiofarmbureau.org and, of course, on our social media platforms as well. But keep that RSVP in mind, May 31st at 2 p.m. And again, all the details will be shared on all of our social channels a little bit later on this week. A very important conversation. And Ray, as you mentioned earlier, every time you and I have conversations like this, we take one more swing with our hammer at that brick wall of stigma around mental health and agriculture. So I really appreciate your time and all of your efforts there at American Farm Bureau on this front. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Ty, and success of everything we do here at American Farm Bureau is because of the folks like you on the ground, on the front lines in our state, county farm bureaus, and all the other advocates that we work with and all the partners we have all working together. And again, just to close, as our survey said, you know, we are making a difference. The work we're doing, we are making a difference, but we all still have work to do. And working together, we can really have an impact and really help improve mental health outcomes for farmers and ranchers.
Ray Atkinson, Director of Communications with American Farm Bureau. Our Ohio Weekly continues next.
Today, farmers and small businesses with employees continue to search for health coverage options. Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan has teamed up with Anthem to offer businesses with 1 to 50 employees an opportunity to participate in a large, self-funded pool backed by Anthem. This health benefits plan offers competitive rates through a self-funded arrangement, fixed and predictable monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs, including deductible with coinsurance and high deductible plans. The OFB Health Benefits Plan uses Anthem's Healthcare Provider Network, one of the largest provider networks in the state. Your benefits package can affect employee satisfaction. With the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan, you get access to Anthem's industry-leading specialty plans, vision, life, disability, and more, in addition to medical plans. Plus, they're integrated for even more value. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org for eligibility details and to receive your highly competitive quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org, a self-funded medical plan for Ohio Farm Bureau members.
Safety in agriculture is a top priority, and the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation has your safety needs covered with free safety consulting services, safety intervention grants, and training and education. Prevent workplace injuries and illnesses. Visit bwc.ohio.gov and click on Safety Services or call 866-569-7805 for more information. Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation. We've got you covered.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $2.8 billion. Much of that value comes from the standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA membership and Ohio's agriculture is undeniable. The farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Guesswork may be great for trivia or a jar full of jelly beans, but for getting the right insurance coverage for your farm, not so much. Introducing the Ohio Farm Bureau Select Partners Program, an insurance and financial services program for Ohio's farming community. Select partner agencies specialize in the unique needs of agriculture, plus they're endorsed by local farmers like you. Achieve your strongest farm future at OhioFarmBureau.org/selectpartners.
Show your Ohio Farm Bureau pride with a new t-shirt, hat, or hoodie. Available now at OFBF.org/shop. The new Farm Bureau logo is now featured on a full line of clothing for men, women, kids, and babies. You can even add the Farm Bureau mark on water bottles, mugs, cell phone cases, and more. All from one spot. OFBF.org/shop. A bandana for the dog, a pillow for the couch, or an apron for the grill master. OFBF.org/shop. That's OFBF.org/shop.
No matter where your travels take you, Ohio Farm Bureau membership benefits will follow. Before you check in, check out the wide variety of options Farm Bureau members have when it comes to hotel discounts. From Red Roof Inn to over 30 iconic brands offered through Choice and Wyndham, you'll be able to find the comfort level that's right for you. To learn more on how to save on your lodging needs, visit ofbf.org/savings. Another valuable member benefit exclusive to Ohio Farm Bureau members.
Talking about mental health awareness this week on Our Ohio Weekly. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, but it's something that we should all have in the front of our minds all year long as it gets to be more and more of an issue, not just across the agriculture spectrum, but across every industry in Ohio. And that's why with us, Dr. Anna Bell, Statewide Health, Wellness, and Special Programs Manager with Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation. Welcome to Our Ohio Weekly.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I know that, and we'll talk about the uptick in the ask for resources and, more mental health challenges throughout all industry in Ohio. But really, before COVID, you guys were working on some changes to your mental health awareness and your mental health challenges and how you approach them.
Right. So when we started, particularly the work that I do at BWC, we were looking at mostly what we call like their physical health and well-being, right? Those type 2 diabetes, heart disease, smoking cessation. But we realized that we're more than that as humans, and we wanted to do more than that. So we started to shift our work to looking at the whole individual. So mind, body, spirit, soul. How can we support our workforce? How can we support our injured workers to address those issues? And that's what we started to do.
I know COVID pushed a lot of things back. Yep. Are we making progress on that front?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So COVID, it actually accelerated that. We started to see right around the onset of COVID, people were asking for more resources about stress reduction, about coping skills, in addition to, you know, how can I eat a little better? How can I manage my weight? So COVID kind of drove that shift to how can we address those? How can we add in extra things to support our whole well-being?
What do those resources look like?
Mm-hmm. So right now, one of our biggest funnels is through Better You, Better Ohio. It is a health and wellness program that we offer to small employers throughout the state of Ohio. Those with 250 individuals or employees or less, we also offer it to our injured workers. We include biometric screenings on-site or in-person. You can have an at-home test kit mailed to you, health coaching, recipes, a ton of resources to help support whatever an individual is looking forward to.
That's on the individual level. How many businesses reach out knowing they have to have these resources available and maybe do it in groups? Are we seeing anything like that happen at the business level?
Yep. That's the beautiful thing about the program. We have individuals that are actually reaching out, but also employers. Right now, we're sitting at about 26,000 Ohioans who are participating. Huge chunks of employers that are rolling through, about 600 or 700 each year. And that list is growing. We have more that are reaching out. Anyone's ranging from 10 or so employees all the way up to 250. So we're getting good lists.
I think that as I learn more about mental health and try to spread the awareness through the ag industry, the one thing I've noticed is that the challenge does not discriminate. It happens in just about every type of farmer, every type of agribusiness person. I have to imagine that's bands across all industries in Ohio as well.
Yes, that is exactly true. And because, you know, when we look at our lives and our being as humans, we have different things that are interacting with our well-being. So just because things may be going good at work doesn't mean things are going good at home. And if you're taking that energy, how you're feeling, your mood, that's going to impact your work and vice versa. So same as you noted with the ag industry, it's going to happen in other entities as well.
Where does the family aspect come into play? I know you talked about reaching out to those individuals and people asking for resources, but if someone's dealing with this personally, it is going to affect the home life and the family life. So are the resources out there for the entire family as well?
Yes. So we have a component of the program that is designed, it's kind of like a resource hub. So if an individual reaches out and says, hey, I need support for my children, resources for them, I need support finding a local food pantry, I need help looking up extra sources of income to pay for childcare, those resources are available so that, you know, we can address those things that are at their forefront, reduce those stress levels, hopefully, and improve their well-being.
How can people find out more if they're in need of maybe resources for them, or if they notice someone that may be reaching out for help or dealing with mental health challenges? How can they go about finding out more about the resources that you offer at BWC?
Sure. Yeah, there are a ton of ways. So they can go on BWC's website. We have a Better You, Better Ohio. It's a program to look out for. We have a help box, phone number. All of that information is online. Feel free to send me an email. I can leave my contact information. I'd be happy to connect individuals too.
We'll put the link on our website as well at ohiofarmbureau.org. And of course, we'll put it in the text of this podcast as well. Dr. Anna Bell, she's the Statewide Health, Wellness, and Special Programs Manager with Ohio's Bureau of Workers' Compensation. Really appreciate you taking time to talk about this very important issue impacting not just agriculture, but Ohioans as a whole.
Yeah. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I know it's a difficult topic, but there are a lot of things being done across the Buckeye State to help those struggling with mental illness, including the Got Your Back Ohio campaign from the Ohio Department of Agriculture and the Lean on Your Land Grant campaign with the Ohio State University. But you are so much more than the difficulties you're facing right now, and you're so much more than the stresses in your life. If you know someone or you are someone that needs emotional support, text 4HOPE to 741-741 or call 800-273-8255.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side and produced by Ohio Farm Bureau, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/OurOhioWeekly.